Welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson, and we got some stuff to talk about. I started this thing a couple days ago before, everything yesterday, so I'm just redoing it. Today we're going to talk about some moves, the big one being the Jacob Stallings deal. Can't say I'm shocked. I can't say I'm shocked. I'm surprised. A little underwhelmed, but kind of okay. Like, I'm in a weird place with this one. We'll talk about that and some of the other moves, some of the free agent signings, and some of the guys that were, let go to make room for those guys. So we'll take a look at all that. But before we do, let's have a message from Anchor. So the Pirates made some moves, as you probably are well aware. The big one, of course, was yesterday with the Pirates trading Jacob Stallings to the Miami Marlins for basically prospects. The one guy, Zach Thompson, does have some major league experience. Last year he got his first taste of the big leagues, and his results were decent. I'm not going to say excited, but I kind of get it. I mean, Thompson was 3-7 in 26 games. He got 14 starts out of that, 75 innings pitched. Struck out 66, whip 1.21. Pretty solid numbers. 27 earned runs over 75 innings, 63 hits, 28 walks. It's not a bad number. I mean, he's been around for a while. He is 28 years old. So he's on the older side for somebody just, essentially making their major league debut. He was let go by the White Sox at one point. The Marlins, snatched him up on a minor league deal. Made his big league debut last year. He's got some good stuff. He's gonna be a rotation piece. Like, he's gonna factor into the rotation this year. Like I said in past episodes, you can't have too much pitching, and the Pirates are still on the little bit of the shorter end of the pitching when it comes to guys that are big league ready. Thompson, in the sample size that, the 26 games last year, not a huge sample size, but enough, I think, that, he really factors in. I think, he fits. Like, I like it. Aside from him, they did also pick up two prospects. They got pitcher Kyle Nicholas and outfielder Connor Scott. Of these two, of the whole batch, I think I'm most excited for Nicholas. Nicholas has some good stuff. There's some concerns there that maybe he is profiles more as a fastball slider type guy, reliever. But he could start. He just needs to work on getting another pitch in there. With that, he does fall into MLB Pipeline's top 30 for the Pirates. They slot him right into their 24th spot. And then the other one was Connor Scott. Scott was a former first-round pick. He's got some, you know, he's got some speed. He's a good defender. Plays a good center field. Offensively, there's still some work to be done there. He has been promoted, you know, several times and has shown signs that, you know, the bat's there. Pirates fans, like, tend to, you know, you latch on the players, right? And that happens with every fan. Like, you have your favorite players. The Pirates are tough because when the Pirates are down, which is a lot, they tend to, you know, rebuild and you know, wheel and deal and get rid of the guys. And they're people that fans are attached to. And Jacob Stallings was one of those guys. Jacob Stallings just seemed like a good guy, like a, you know, hardworking, blue-collar type dude that, you know, really fit on that team very well. He was a pretty good leader. He did a great job developing that staff, working with those young pitchers. You know, he's going to be 32. His trade value was probably not going to get any better than it was right now. Did he need to be traded? And I think that's the big question that a lot of fans are asking. I know yesterday Pirates Twitter lost their minds over this. It's a mixed bag. I think once the dust settles on this, and you can kind of disconnect from, you know, the player, I think overall it's a decent trade. But, you know, like I said, did it have to happen? I don't think the Pirates needed to trade Jacob Stallings. However, I also know, you know, they are still rebuilding, you know, at some point, and I know a lot of people hoped it would be this year. I didn't think it would be. I thought the potential was there this year for the Pirates to kind of swing the other way where they start kind of adding on. But I really think that that's going to be within the next, like in 2023 or 2024, because I think they're really waiting for these prospects to develop and see what they have, and see where the holes are. Right now, the holes are everywhere. You know, you've got one all-star outfielder in Brian Reynolds. You've got arguably one of the best defensive third basemen in the league in Hayes, who, you know, still new to the big leagues, working out, you know, the kinks and, you know, getting that, the offensive production up. I think those are the only two areas where there aren't holes for the Pirates right now. Ben Gamel, good player for them. You know, he's just a placeholder at this point. You know, everywhere else, it's just these guys who aren't their top prospects, but could still have, they still have some promise. Your Chavis, your Cole Tucker even, you know, with how he played there towards the end of the season, I think there's still potential there. But I think, you know, we did see the O'Neill Cruz come up. You know, we saw your Contreras and your Hooray. Those guys are close. Very close. Will some of them start the season in the big leagues? Maybe. I think they'll probably get some more seasoning in AAA. But, you know, it's tough because, you know, like I said, Stallings' value is not going to get any higher than it is right now. It's not really realistic to think that he's going to all of a sudden become a better offensive player, which is really the only thing that would increase his value. Could the Pirates have done better? Maybe. I have a hard time, even like when you look at metrics and everything, and I have a hard time believing that a 32-year-old catcher could get you more than what they got. And you can look at numbers. You know, there's a lot of, you know, guys out there on Twitter, Bucks in the Basement have a really good segment where they talk about trades and trade pieces, and those guys do a great job. And you can look at numbers and everything, and all the little pieces and all the data. I don't know if Stallings could bring you anything more than what they got. So, you know, like I said, did they need to trade him? Not really, but, you know, this is Ben Cherington's philosophy. You know, this is his plan. Like, he's adding talent, adding depth to the farm system so that we just have waves of guys that are ready, you know, at the same time. So, like, if you're not relying on one or two guys to fill holes, you have, like, five or six guys that are there and ready and to get some big league at-bats or some innings or whatever. So, I'm probably in the minority right now when it comes to Pirates fans, but I'm okay with the deal. I think if you pull emotions out of it, and yes, I get that the Pirates fans are tired of, you know, just the revolving door. But, you know, unless something changes with the collective bargaining agreement to establish, like, you know, a cap or whatever, a floor, whatever they do, this is what the Pirates are going to be. It's what the Rays are. It's what these small market teams are. They've got to trade. They've got to develop from within. And I know not all these guys will pan out. But, you know, I don't think they're getting junk. I don't think they're getting people. I've saw a lot of people saying, oh, that's just a guy. But I don't think it is. I think Zach Thompson is a potentially solid back of the rotation guy. You know, Nicholas could start. Worst case scenario, I think you have a good arm in the pen, which is important. And that's the, you know, with baseball and, you know, with how things were, how things have been going the last several seasons, and, you know, your openers and your not letting starters see a lineup a third time through, you need strong bullpens, and the good teams have them. I mean, even the Rays, like the small market good teams, you know, they're developing those bullpen arms. So it's important. One thing that the Stallings deal did do was it left a void at the catcher position. And the Pirates filled that today, picking up Roberto Perez, former Cleveland Guardian. You know, he's been dinged up the last couple years, but defensively, he's probably close to Stallings. I mean, Stallings is pretty elite at the moment. He's a little older, like a year or so older. But, you know, Perez has had some injury issues the last couple years. But all in all, if you look at it, where you basically traded Jacob Stallings for Zach Thompson, Nicholas, and Scott, and switched them out for Perez, it's not terrible. Perez is only on a one-year deal, so you've got to figure that the Pirates may not be done at catcher. They may be looking Rule 5. I know the Rule 5 has two guys that are very highly, well, not very highly touted, but highly touted catchers who they could take there, you know, and then I know Blake Hunt is one. He's a guy that they could just, you know, keep on the roster all year. They also have Michael Perez. I know that's not, and I'm not a Michael Perez fan. You also have him still in the system. But unless they go Rule 5, then maybe they won't add another big league catcher, maybe some guys on minor league deals. But, you know, if they don't go Rule 5, I could see them signing somebody else too, or trading for somebody else. I don't think Perez is fit. I don't think they're relying on him. I hope they're not relying on him to physically handle a whole season behind the plate. I don't know if he can physically do it. So I'm pretty sure that they have, they should, I hope they have a plan in place. So that was interesting. Last week it was noted that they had an agreement with left-hander Jose Quintana, who is a blast from the past. He was always popping up in Pirates trade rumors whenever they were, whenever Neil Huntington was there. They just could never seem to land him. But they did sign him. And in signing him, making it official yesterday, they parted ways with Stephen Brault. And Brault's one of those guys. I don't think we've seen the last of Brault in the big leagues by any means. I think he'll catch on somewhere, probably on a minor league deal. I feel like the injury bug, Brault just couldn't shake it long enough to be able to depend on him. So Pirates are moving on there. And they also signed Yoshi Susugo, fan favorite from last year. I think that's great bringing him in. But they decided to part ways with Colin Moran, which I get it. Of all the moves that the Pirates have made, even including the Stallings deal, this one is kind of a head scratcher at the moment. It's got to be, you know, money based, really. You know, they don't want to have to bump Moran up with arbitration or whatever. And I don't know if Moran's really worth more. If he had just been able to stay healthy last year, I don't think this happens. Like, I don't know if they re-sign Susugo. I think Moran was on pace to have, like, obviously his best year, but he was pretty consistent when he was healthy and then just couldn't bounce back. He'll catch on somewhere, so we'll see what happens with him. And the Pirates also today announced they have released, I'm sorry, yesterday released Cody Pounce, who apparently is heading to Japan. So, I mean, good for him. Good luck over there. Also, the Pirates signed a couple minor league free agents I forgot to mention. One of them is a catcher, Jamie Ritchie. And then right-handed pitcher Jared Eichhoff. Eichhoff, both to minor league deals. Eichhoff, I always kind of watched him and, you know, as being a guy the Pirates could go after. Eichhoff was pretty good for the Phillies his first couple years in the league, and then the wheels kind of fell off a little bit. Injury didn't help him out, and he hasn't pitched a whole lot in the last couple seasons. So not at all in 2020, even though, you know, it was shortened. Didn't see him at all. For me, it kind of feels like a Trevor Cahill role, you know, just guy in camp. Luckily they got him on a minor league deal. See if he can catch on and, you know, maybe be a bullpen guy, kind of like a Chase DeYoung, you know, one of those guys. So he could click. You could get him back to where he was in 2016. Is it likely? Probably not, but if you could get him even remotely close, he could be a good depth option, you know, out of the bullpen or even as like an emergency starter. Jamie Ritchie, you know, he's pretty much a career minor leaguer. He hasn't seen any big league time. But, I mean, last year he didn't have that bad of a year. You know, 284 bats, hit .317, few home runs, like nothing special. But, I mean, he's going to serve as depth. I don't think he'll be the backup catcher to Perez. But, you know, they are bringing these guys in slowly but surely. And we're going to see more of these types of moves. You know, with the Perez signing today, I'm not totally, I wouldn't be totally shocked if the Pirates aren't done in the next couple of days. I'm actually surprised that they haven't. Really, I gotta think that Chris Stratton is a good trade chip. But yeah, anyway, we'll see. So, you know, circling back a little bit to, you know, the Stallings deal. What does that deal mean for, you know, the roster? The only one they had to add to the 40-man was Zach Thompson. So you bring him in there. He adds just that other arm. I think he'll probably serve as, like, the fifth starter. So right now you have Brubaker, Will Crow, Mitch Keller, Dylan Peters, Quintana, Thompson, Bryce Wilson, and then a mix of Hure, Contreras, Kranich, maybe Chad Kuhl in that mix for the rotation. I still wouldn't be surprised if they bring in another veteran, whether it be on a minor league deal or even a big league deal at some point. And for me, the rotation's going to be, I mean, I got to think it's going to be Mitch Keller. I think he's a lock for the rotation just because they have to exhaust the number of chances that they give him. Quintana, I believe Quintana is going to be in there. Bryce Wilson, Zach Thompson, and then for me, the fifth starter, probably Brubaker. I think Crow ends up in the bullpen as kind of your swing man. First injury that happens, I think Crow slides in there. And then you have the young guys. Dylan Peters, for me, is kind of the odd man out of that group at the moment. Again, he could go to the pen. You know, getting Quintana gives you that lefty. You know, that's one of the things that Dylan Peters really kind of, I think, solidified him as being a rotation option now that he's not the only one. I don't know if that is, you know, a lock for him. So maybe he slides into the bullpen a little bit. But then you have, you know, Yohure, you know, Kranich, Contreras. And others coming. I mean, it all, like, the Rule 5 coming up, kind of all depends, you know, a lot of these decisions kind of hinge on, you know, who's selected and who's not. I think that Cody Bolton could be in that conversation if he's not selected. You know, they could pick somebody up. But there's still plenty of, the roster's going to be full once they sign Perez and make that official. I think there's a lot of room here still for roster movement. I get why Brault and Moran were let go. But I'm actually still really surprised that Eric Hanold is still on this roster. So, I mean, he could be an easy casualty. And if they are going to take somebody in the Rule 5, they're going to have to clear a spot. So don't assume they're done. They're also absolutely loaded with infielders on the 40-man roster. So I don't know who you cut out of that. I wouldn't be shocked if Newman is. I don't know if you can deal Newman. Wouldn't be shocked if he's DFA'd. Or non-tendered. But again, I mean, he's one of your more veteran guys on this team at the moment in that infield. And defensively, he was fantastic last year. So I don't know. They also have a ton of outfielders on this roster. Alford, Allen, Oliva, those three guys could be DFA'd, at any time, or, just maybe. I don't know if they could, any of these guys have trade value or not. But yeah, I think we'll see another catcher added. I really don't think that they'll go into camp without a second catcher on the roster, unless they just load up on minor league free agents like they have in the past. But Perez is not somebody that you want to bank on being healthy for the whole season. Yeah, and as far as the Rule 5 goes, that's something I didn't really get to talk about. And I know that was a little bit ago, but I was surprised that they didn't protect at least one pitcher, whether it be Bolton or Cruz or De Los Santos or the other Hunter Stratton or Tanash Thomas, but. The Pirates are going to lose some guys, one or two, maybe three. Cal Mitchell's out there, but I wasn't shocked with Swaggerty or Smith and Jigba or Pagero being protected. I thought that they kind of had to protect those guys. The one that didn't, I wouldn't say baffled me, but kind of surprised me was Sawinski, since he was still in Double A, he did not make it to Triple A last year. But Ben Cherington must really like him. Like, they must think very highly of this kid to the point where they were worried about him, getting picked in that Rule 5. Because I truthfully would have protected a pitcher over him. If you're only protecting four guys, in my last episode, I kind of talked about who I would project, and I knew I was being a little bit optimistic when I had seven, and even made a case that it could possibly be more. But four, isn't a whole lot. Sawinski wasn't even in my seven. I like Cal Mitchell. Cal Mitchell had one of the steadier years last year for these outfielders. Smith and Jigba was good, but kind of had a lull. Swaggerty obviously missed a giant chunk of the year, all pretty much the whole year. But Pagero, I get wanting to protect Pagero. He's still really young and has a lot of talent there. So, even though he'll probably start the year in Double A, I mean, you still want to make sure that you keep him around. So yeah, I guess, like, with the Stallings deal, I get it. I get why fans would be upset. Like, I don't love constantly trading everyone. You know, I don't love rebuilds. They're intriguing. I wouldn't say I love them. I don't love them. They're intriguing. Like, I like seeing how Ben Cherington's philosophy and plan kind of falls into place. These guys still have to develop. You can have 100 prospects who all rank in some publications top 100, but you still need to develop them. So that's going to be the key. You know, for me, this year is going to be the start. Right. And I'm also curious to see how aggressive Ben Cherington is going to be. Henry Davis obviously is not going to be, will be pushed towards the big leagues this year. But maybe they're a little bit more aggressive with him. You know, maybe he makes a higher jump to, maybe he starts in Altoona. See what happens. You know, Nick Gonzalez is another one. I think he starts in Altoona. Same with Peguero. Are you going to bring, you know, are we going to see any of those guys this year? Probably, or in 2022, probably not, but could. But this is the year, I think, where it could be rough. Like, it could be really hard to watch. And that's very frustrating because last season was very hard to watch. You know, with some players getting a full year after not playing at all, you know, under their belts last year, this next season we may see guys take bigger strides forward in their development. But this year we should start seeing the fruits of Ben Cherington's labor. You know, we should see Marcano. Like, we'll see Marcano. You know, we'll see Yohei. We'll see Contreras. Matt Fraser, we very well could see. I think he'll get time in Altoona, but if he hits Altoona steadily like he did last year in high A, you could see him in Indy. G1 Bay, could see him in Indy at some point this year. Michael Burrows, the pitching wide, Michael Burrows is one to keep an eye on. Majinski is a guy to keep an eye on. Priester. I don't think Priester makes the jump yet, but, he's going to probably go to Altoona. Altoona's going to be fun to watch. Indy's going to be a lot more competitive and fun, a lot more fun to watch than they were last year. So, everybody's moving closer. We'll see the guy, hopefully, if guys like Chavis or, like Cole Tucker, Swaggerty, any of those guys that are in AAA now, they can, be productive in the big leagues. You know, if we can get one or two guys to really step up, This is year. Rodolfo Castro, you still have him. I mean, some of these guys are Neil Huntington holdovers, but I really think it's set up to where we'll just see waves. And the more prospects that the Pirates have, the bigger the waves could be, the higher, the better quality the waves could be. It won't just be utility guy, you know, back-end starters. It's going to be, like, potentially really solid major league ball players. But I don't think he's done dealing. It doesn't have a whole lot left that has value. I mean, Stratton has value. Like, I don't think he'll push to trade, like, a Bryce Wilson or anybody like that. Bednar has value. I don't think he gets traded, but he has value. So, yeah, I mean, we'll just, you know, you can, it's very easy to get upset. When I saw that the rumors that they were trading, that they were talking about Stallings, I'm like, okay, well, they're just talking. And then all of a sudden he was dealt yesterday. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. But, you know, it's nice that at least they signed a catcher today. I think that kind of eases the pain a little bit. I've seen some of that on Twitter of guys, like, kind of backpedaling a little bit, saying, okay, well, now that they have him in place, it's really not that bad of a swap. But, yeah. Like, I get the, you know, the fans just want these guys, want the Pirates to be competitive. Thing to remember is they were in such a hole, and a void of talent in their system that it needed overhauled. And that's what it got. It got an overhaul. They still have, like I said, still have to develop them. But it got the overhaul it needed. Going out and signing a couple more expensive free agents this year wasn't going to fix the team long term. It wasn't going to make them competitive this year. They can't compete with the Yankees or any of the Dodgers or anybody like that, where they're not going to sign Corey Seager. They're not going to sign any of those, Max Scherzer. They're not going to sign any of those types of guys yet. And could they down the road, you know, once they've, these guys, the prospects have hopefully developed and are in play in the big leagues? Sure. I would not need to. You know, if they're smart and just extend guys that they have as they show that they're being productive, you know, this is sustainable. The 2013 through the 2015 Pirates were not sustainable because they didn't have this backing it up. They didn't have the level of talent in the farm system to back them up and bail them out whenever somebody went down with injury, or, you know, Andrew McCutchen's production dropped off. You know, Marte suspended for PEDs. Like, they had nobody to back that up. Now they might. Looking at the system, potential's there. Like I said, they're not all going to hit. Ben Cherington is going to lose trades. You know, when you look at them down the road, he's going to lose trades. The Adam Frazier deal, he could lose that one. You know, the Stallings deal, he could lose any of these. But I think that you still have to try. And I think he's trying. And I think that the farm system and the Pirates on a whole, and the Pirates' future is brighter than it's been in a long time. So that's the episode for today. Thanks for listening. I know it's a lot. I know it's hard. You get attached to somebody and you let them go. You know, as a fan of any team, But, nope. Part of the game. So, but hey, I want to thank everybody, you know, for tuning in. Check me out on social media. On Twitter at Bucko Fever Pod. Facebook, Bucko Fever Podcast. And, of course, BuckoFeverPodcast.com for any updates on the podcast or blog entries when I have time to write them. But, you know, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. Love to talk Bucko baseball. So, again, appreciate everybody listening and have a good one.